Hey, Nelson.
Hey, Tim.
Wow, I think this is a first.
I'm just trying to hold it in, man.
Oh, man. Okay, maybe next time I'll just let a good thing go. You know, first time ever, not laughing at just playing it straight. Hey, I don't know if you see this. I'm not big on like these, you know, crime documentary stuff like that, right?
Yes.
But I watched this thing on Netflix.
Okay.
Called American Nightmare, about how somebody came in and this guy had his girlfriend kidnapped in the middle of the night, and he was tied up and everything. And it turned into like this Gone Girl, because Gone Girl, the movie, had come out like a year before or something.
Yeah.
Because she ended up turning up. It happened in California, and then she turned up in Southern California, Northern California, then turned up in Southern California. This thing was bonkers, man.
Yeah.
The story was bonkers.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away. Do you ever watch these kind of documentaries?
No, but they are played quite, like, every single one of them, my wife is all over it. Like,
as soon as I hit on it, my algorithm on Netflix changed to everything, like Ted Bundy and the guy dressed as a clown and all the serial killer stuff.
Yeah, she is all about true crime, and so she's probably seen it. And she just gives me the rundown. She's like, are you going to watch it? No, I know you're not going to watch it. So here's what happened. And she's like, and she goes at length about it. So I might as well have watched it.
Yeah, yeah. So, funny enough, once all the crime stuff came up, in the middle of all that was Jim Carrey's performance in Man on the Moon. There was a documentary about that. I'm like, oh, that's kind of an odd placement.
Yeah.
But this story is bonkers. So if any of our tens of listeners are looking for some kind of crazy, it's three episodes, 45 minutes each.
Okay.
And I hit it in one sitting, and wow, it's just crazy. You don't know what to believe until you're in the last episode and you're figuring it out. And then you're like, can they figure it out? You know, can we get there? You know, so.
Well, any good true crime documentary.
Yeah.
They keep you guessing towards the end. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's insane. So, I'm going to say I'll probably watch a few more of those things. I don't really think I'm interested in most of them, but there are some off the wall things that I would be interested in watching. But this, without question, it just. Bananas, man. Just completely, completely bananas. So,
well,
but on that note,
I'll tell you, there is no shortage of true crime documentaries and shows for you to consume should you go down that rabbit hole.
That's true. That's definitely true. So we live in quite a society.
We do. In no way is that any commentary on, you know, what America's become. Just we love true crime.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I have to turn up my volume here because I was like, oh, you're kind of faint, but I think it's my volume. So, okay. Well, on that note, why don't we get this party started, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go cue that epic music, man. This is The Final Take. I'm Nelson. With me is Tim. The only thing we love more than movies and TV is talking about them. So if you love what you hear, like it, rate it, and share it.
Wow, you really said that with a smile in your face. smile in your voice.
You know I have a sales background, so it's, smile and dial, man. Smile and dial.
That's right.
They can hear your smile over the phone.
You can. Yeah, that's right. That's why I like the DJ Richard Blade. I used to listen to him on K-Rock when I was a kid. But he's always has that like peppy little thing. He's on Sirius XM now.
Nice.
But spinning the 80s hits and stuff. So, but hey, we got some things to cover.
Yeah.
We're going to start with recap Reacher.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up with a nice little bow.
That's right. And then we're going to get to Self-Reliance. the Hulu film
that
recently came out that we're seeing promoted everywhere right now.
Nice.
So let's jump into the season two conclusion of Reacher.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So Amazon's Prime Video concludes season two of Reacher with a bang, as Reacher and the rest of the special investigators solve their case and find closure.
And based on the Lee Child book, Bad Luck and Trouble, Alan Ritchson stars as Jack Reacher along with Maria Sten along for the ride in season two. Sarinda Swan, Sean Sipos, Ferdinand Kingsley, and Robert Patrick, who doesn't care about Sarah Connor.
Doesn't know who she is.
That's
apparently
right.
The Terminator doesn't exist. It exists, but it doesn't exist in the Reacher universe.
Right. Yeah. So I'll say this. We'll talk some spoilers because we're talking the end of this.
You got to raise a spoiler flag.
Yeah, we're going to raise a spoiler flag on Reacher season two. We did do a mid-season take on it, and this is our final take. What are your thoughts with how this wrapped up?
You know, I was really thinking about this, knowing that we were going to do this wrap up. And I think this is like peak dad TV, man. it was, you know, like they had a little bit of everything. And I know it's funny because I've seen a lot of online discourse around how, like, you know, all the studios are, you know, they're pandering towards a certain audience, and like you don't see the movies or the movies that you used to, and the action movies aren't what they were and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Prime Video, man, turn on Reacher. I mean, there's plenty of TV and streaming shows that will scratch that dad TV itch.
Yeah.
And I think Reacher is right up there where it can be just that, you know, check your head at the door action.
Yeah.
You know, procedural, like kind of cop procedural adjacent, just because they're investigating something, but like vigilante justice. And there's just this large man doling out justice with his fists.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he makes no bones about it. Like, he intends on killing everyone involved that were going after the special investigators and that are at the center of this conspiracy. And sure enough, he gets his revenge, man. And then an odd little quirk that I noticed is where, like, you know, there's these criminals that are dealing with like millions of dollars in transactions and stuff and bribes and all that. And I thought it was funny that a couple times where he dispensed his justice and, you know, sent a bad guy to the afterlife, he straight up kept their ill-gotten goods.
I know. But, you know, he did write kind of Robin Hood. You know,
oh, sure, sure.
That.
There's a Robin Hood aspect of it. There's the part where, you know, there's a long-running joke through the episode of, like, you know, what with Neely, he's like, add it to my tab. I intend to pay you back. And she's like, you don't have to. Like, it's not my intention. You know, I paid for your flight. I'm paying for hotels. I'm footing the bill for this. Like, it's the least that I can do, blah, blah, blah. And the whole time he's like, no, just add it to my tab. You know, I owe you. And and later in the season, after he kills a crooked cop, and, you know, the guy was getting ready to skip town, so, like, he had all his cash and bribes in a duffel. And he walks over to it and picks it up and tosses it to her. He's like, that should cover my tab.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he took that bribe.
I mean, he kept it, but
I just thought it was funny.
It was the little things. What I really liked about this season was the little things, you know, how he got his guns and money you know, he got it by, you know, kind of confiscating it from drug dealers and,
yes,
and those kinds of things. And then, you know, definitely Robin Hooding it, you know, handing over a big wad of cash to a church nearby, you know, paying off, you know, Neely. But, yeah, as far as I just thought, based on being a book, it did go out with a bit of a whimper at the end. I would say, you know, they obviously, you know, they're going to wrap things up and they're going to solve the crime and solve, yeah, the, you know, the crime of their, you know, their dead brethren, special investigators. However, it just didn't pack that big of a punch.
You thought it petered out a little bit.
It did yeah, peter out for, you know, I definitely enjoy the show, but yeah, I mean, I was expecting a lot more,
you know, and I fury I think, and fire. I think what you may have been experiencing is typically in shows like this, it, or, you know, any action movie or TV show, I think all of them usually culminate in all the main characters, good and bad guys, convening in one location where there's, you know, a battle, some sort of battle that ensues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this case, it was kind of like a slow roll of, like, they converged on the what was that? What's the company called that they're trying to take down?
I can't remember.
Defense Whatever the company is, like,
yeah,
they're converging on that company, that secret company, yeah, warehouse. So then, you know, they can get one bad guy, and there's like a whole, like, assault there. And Reacher does that thing where he pretends to be captured only so he can get on the inside. Right. That whole thing. And then they dispatch of one bad guy, and then they go to the next location and they dispatch of that mm-hmm. bad guy. And then they, you know, the final location. And so instead of like one final battle, it's mm-hmm. like one battle where a bunch of people get killed. And then like a set piece within that action set piece where another bad guy gets killed. And then they go to a final location where, like, instead of an epic shootout or an epic whatever, it's kind of like we're just going to simply kill you. And that's the end, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that might have been what you're suffering from, instead of like one big blowout. Like, that happens in the warehouse, and then it happens on the helicopter. And then, yeah, you know, there's more of, like, I think the final one is more of like a satisfying, like, yeah, that guy got what was coming to him finally. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah. And the guy who was the buyer,
the arms dealer,
he was facilitating that. And, you know, he might as well not even have been in it.
You know, I thought that, where he was, yeah, like almost like a C or D storyline.
It wasn't even a storyline. I mean, it just showed him while he's traveling, and you're like, okay, well,
he's trying to put together the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get his identities together. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay. All right. All right. All right. And then it's just, oh, he just kind of goes out with a whimper. And I think that kind of contributed to it as well, because I was thinking there was going to be more to that. And probably in the book there was. However, he was just relegated to just a very non-plot subplot, so to speak.
It was a little, yeah, like, and his ending was a little, I can see where you're going from, where his ending was a, yeah, little anticlimactic, where it seemed like it, yeah, was building up towards a larger kind of action set piece or a larger, you know, conclusion for him.
Yeah, it was. So,
yeah.
Well, hey, that said, where do you stand? Season as a whole.
Yeah, season as a whole, very entertaining. It's a watch. Yeah. Like, yeah, I said, it's peak dad TV.
Yeah,
you know, it's everything that you would want. Sure, the final ending kind of petered out a little bit and yeah, didn't quite have the momentum of, you know, the earlier season, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But, you know, like, it has everything that you want. Like, really fun action set pieces.
Yeah.
Alan Ritchson, perfect as Reacher. You even see absolutely. A little bit of growth in the character as well. So it's not like, you know, the same kind of one note. Like I was pleasantly surprised by how the character evolved from season one and kind of how his acting evolved from season one.
True. And you know, even though his character is notoriously known to be a very quiet person and not really contribute much, but kind of like how he was in the first season. However, it shows how he's opened up a little bit more because he's around his people.
Sure, sure.
And so I do expect a third season for him to go back to more of a silent, but deadly kind of a guy.
Yeah. I just know the having that the camaraderie of you know, his special investigations group, having the special investigators around him, that was definitely the highlight of the season, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It was a highlight of season one where he brought Neely in, and you know, seeing their banter and their relationship, and you know, kind of getting a tease of that for season two, and then them, you know, the creators really leaning into that in season two. I thought that was great. I think you might be right for season three. It's gonna, you know, where it's like it's basically like an anthology with one character kind of bridging the gap from season to season, where it's just gonna follow Reacher. Where season three might be a solo season for him again. I think it's definitely a watch. It was a fun season, I think.
Yeah, I would say. You know, as a fan of the show, I would say it's a watch. Anyone who's not a fan, I would definitely recommend it. But, you know, get around to it when you get around to it. So.
All right. Good times.
And that's my two cents. All right. Let's move on to Self-Reliance.
Oh, yes. All right.
Well, I know you wanted to say a lot yesterday.
I did. I was like, no, I'm going to save my take. So Self-Reliance begins as a man with nothing to lose is provided with an offer to participate in a life and death reality game show on the dark web. He quickly discovers he has a lot to live for.
Self-Reliance is written, directed, and starring Jake Johnson. It also stars Anna Kendrick, Emily Hampshire, Biff Whiff, Christopher Lloyd, and Andy Samberg as himself, or as the guy who owes Jake Johnson a favor.
Oh, that was such clearly. Like, I love Andy Samberg. Well, it was produced by Lonely Island, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I, you know, I love Andy Samberg and all that, like the Lonely Island crew do. And it's just like hilarious. Absolutely. Like for me, kind of for our generation, growing up in the early ages of the internet and like early age of YouTube and other streaming services, and seeing some of those older Lonely Island videos that they did before they were who they are, and before SNL and before all these other things, they've come quite a long way from those early age of the internet.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So I'm gonna fanboy a little bit too. Okay. I really like Jake Johnson and like everything that he's been since like New Girl and you know the Spider-Verse movies. Like I really enjoy him. I really enjoy him as an actor. So when I saw this movie, I saw the trailer. We have Hulu, and you know I've been watching like Schitt's Creek and catching up on TV shows. And so I was seeing all the promo stuff for it. So when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, this looks right up my alley.
Yeah.
So, just the short of it is I was entertained more than I thought I would be. Like I thought I would enjoy it, but, it's a fun take on, it was like a convergence of, you remember that Michael Douglas movie, The Game? And yes, Truman Show, and David Truman Fincher. Show, and you know the deadliest game, you know, like all of that. Mm-hmm. But on top of which, almost kind of like a psychological I wouldn't say thriller, but like the, is this real or is he hallucinating it? And they play the long game on that the entire run of the movie. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. What did you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was great. I love a good black comedy, you know, that still keeps that oddball essence throughout the entire film. You know, yes. They really, it's funny because it was really established and nobody kind of compromised anything in their characters throughout the whole film. And, you know, his sisters and his mom didn't believe him and stuff sure. like that. And so, it was very good, very simple.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry. Finish your thought.
Well, yeah, it was very simple, but it really just hit the point. There was never a dull moment throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. All of the kind of absurdist elements they had to it.
Yeah.
So like the production assistant ninjas, right? Where, you know, like the one would kind of sneak up on him and like whisper in his ear. And then like, are there more here? And he's like, yep. And he'd like whisper into like a mic in his hand and they'd all kind of like contortionists come out of the shadows, you know?
Yeah.
And then the assassins that were following him, where they're all dressed up as like funny characters. Like there's the Mario, the maintenance guy that's dressed up as Mario, yeah. and then the giant right. that's dressed up as, you know, Michael Jackson, and you know, all little nice little touches that made it feel absurd.
It was Sinbad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The assassin of Sinbad yeah. and the samurai, and then yeah. you know, it's like touches so like crazy. That made it seem really absurd, where you're like, yeah, this it's definitely a dude that's having a mental breakdown and yeah. all of this is in his head, because like, you know, his family, his sisters and his mom are like the audience avatar, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they've been sitting back and watching their brother kind of like sleepwalk through life, because he has a breakup and then he moves in with his mom. And he's kind of sleepwalking through life. And so obviously they're all concerned, yeah. as you would be with any sibling. Mm-hmm. And then like he's saying all these absurd things, like he's on a reality show that's on the dark web. And, you know, these assassins are coming to kill him. And they're dressed up as Mario, or like, you know, this giant yeah. that was dressed up as Michael Jackson was trying to kill him. And, you know, like Andy Samberg picked him up in a limo. Like all that stuff where they're like, are you okay? Like, you know. And to the point where they had an intervention for him, you know? Yeah.
Should we raise a spoiler flag?
Oh, we probably should. Anyway,
spoiler flags up.
That's as spoiler as I'll get, where, you know, they do a really good job of stringing out where, you know, is he really on a reality show or is he not? I mean,
yeah.
you know, and your best guess the whole time is, you know, there's stretches where you're like, okay, for sure he's on a reality show. And then they'll, you know, throw like a curveball where you're like, okay, that's definitely in his head, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have to say a highlight for me would be Anna Kendrick. I haven't seen a lot of things that she was in.
Okay.
But she definitely reminds me of kind of a young Meryl Streep, you know? Where she can just kind of, her performance can change on a dime, you know? And it was really, you think you're getting, you know, a bit of pitch perfect Anna Kendrick throughout this thing. And then all of a sudden pivot. And then all of a sudden she's got this magic, dramatic level to her that's just completely different. And she just changes her personality in sure. this as kind of living one way. And then all of a sudden this is reality now.
Right.
And this is how things have changed.
And they used her character as a perfect way of stringing along that, is this real or is this in his head, right? Because,
right. Yeah.
you know, early on, so part of this game is the assassins can only kill him when he's alone.
Right.
But if he's with someone, like right next to someone, they can't. That's like a rule in the game. And he calls it a loophole. And so he puts out an ad saying, on Craigslist of all places.
Right.
you know, I'm in this game. I need someone to be with me. And she answers the ad. And, you know, it does a good job of subverting expectations where, you know, this girl comes along and you think it's like, you know, kind of a love story. And she plays like the perfect, like, what, like, what's the trope? Manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, she's bubbly and she's fun and she's kind of quirky and she's, you know, weird and she might be the perfect girl. And right as their kind of relationship seems to be gaining steam, like all of a sudden she's like out. And then you kind of see more of her background of why she, you know, why she reached out to him and all that stuff. And again, you know, they do a great job of including that character change to make you second guess if the game that he's in is actually real or not.
And so because that was probably one of the best aspects of this, because you're thinking, you know, the Fight Club situation kind of came to mind, where of course two David Fincher films come to mind. The Game was one of them,
yes,
but also Fight Club,
yes,
where it's like, is it in his mind?
Right.
Is all this in his mind?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it was like, you know, it was like The Game for sure, like Fight Club, you know, The Truman Show a little bit, because like he, you know, but he knows that he's on a reality show instead of kind of picking out a thread. Right. So I thought it was fun kind of combining, you know, pulling all those elements together. And for something that like probably could have been a much larger movie and probably like, had, you know, like Jake Johnson is not widely known as an actor, but you know, presumably at another time this could have been a starring vehicle for a bigger star with a much bigger budget. But I like that they did it, you know, as more as an indie movie, and you know, kind of lesser known actors alongside Jake Johnson.
That's true. That's true. Incidentally, on a sidebar, if anybody can hear this, there's a dog snoring on the floor next to me. So no. I just want to throw that out there that it's like, I'm not falling asleep on you, just to let you know. So in case anybody hears that, I don't know if you heard it or not, but once the sun goes down, these dogs are like,
speaking of like absurd things happening that you're like, know, is this real or a simulation?
Yeah. And well, just to go back and jump on your point is that, yes. And the one thing I'm going to say is runtime. The runtime was perfect. It was just exactly what we needed. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go overboard on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And the pacing was great. It was just like a fun, you know, it didn't feel like a long movie, and it just, it really moved really well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I'll say this, I did want more, and I love how it ended. But I absolutely was hungry for more.
Sure.
But that's the thing. It's like, that's how movies should leave you.
Absolutely.
They should leave you wanting more.
Absolutely.
And I give Jake Johnson absolute kudos.
Sure.
For putting together, just crafting this film. This film is a work of art. I mean,
yeah.
I wish more people were talking about it.
And they pushed it to nearly the very last minute of the last scene, as to, you know, was it real or was it, you know, his imagination or his like him having a mental breakdown. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so definitely it's one of those ones I could definitely watch again. So, you know, I'm jumping ahead of ourselves right here. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, you know,
you just sent me a text full of emojis.
There are a lot of fun little touches, right?
Yeah.
Like even like aside jokes where, you know, so one of the, maybe the second assassin to catch up to him is, you know, the giant that has, you know, that's dressed up as Michael Jackson.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's almost like a throwaway joke where he's standing there and he's like, you know, this guy is dressed up as Michael Jackson from Thriller, you know, he's got the zipper jacket and all that.
Yeah. No, that's the bad one.
Yeah.
No, that was the Beat It.
And they had the guy stand, the random guy standing in line who's kind of like like nerdy who would know just random information like that. That's like, oh no, it's a common misconception with Michael Jackson videos where the jacket with the zipper is actually from Beat It, not from Thriller. And, yeah. And you know, characters.
When he turned around and says something to him.
Yeah, he's walking back and he's like, you know, he says something along the lines of like, I don't know if it makes me angry or happy that you know so much about Michael Jackson, but thank you. I appreciate it. I respect it. You know, I used to love Michael Jackson as a kid. You know?
Yeah. So, that was hilarious.
It's almost like a throwaway joke, but like little details like that. It's just so fun throughout the movie.
But when you're writing a film, and you know, he clearly wrote it for himself.
Sure.
Who else could pull off that level of humor? You know, no, when that right. is your humor written specifically voice. For you.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Who could pull off? Who else could pull off Jake Johnson's voice in that kind of a line? And yeah. so,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like his voice is so distinct.
Yeah.
And just you know the way that he expresses himself, you know, where you know like. His character in New Girl, Nick, and you know mm-hmm. the version of Peter B. Parker that he plays in Spider-Verse, like
yeah,
those it's like he is certainly playing a version of himself.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You know, like give him credit for carving out a career where he could be himself. On mm-hmm. film and TV. Like that's yeah. amazing. That's quite an yeah. accomplishment.
It is true. So, all right. Well, what's your final take on this?
Oh, it's a watch.
And then I have another question for you.
It's a definite watch. And for for like it, like what normally would be like an indie film that, mm-hmm. you know, is very niche that, you know, not many people would see normally that if it got box office play, you know, you'd never even know it was like you'd end up seeing it on basic cable like 3 to 5 years down the line because it just popped up, right?
Yeah.
But in today's streaming and you know their constant need to come out with content, you know, yeah. a movie like this, like I said, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it's a star vehicle for, you know, a bigger comedic actor and they do it on a larger scale and maybe it has success or not. But like the fact that, you know, this has, it has a vehicle where it can be delivered on a streaming service like Hulu, where a lot more people will have a chance to watch it. Yeah. You know, I think that's great because, you know, movies like this are so fun and, you know, it would be a number of years in the past before you'd have a chance to see it because just word of mouth or whatever. And so to see it kind of getting that headline treatment on Hulu is really cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's a watch for me. I definitely love watching a good.
Yeah. Did I say a watch? Film. Did I say a,
yeah,
watch?
A watch?
Yeah, it's a watch. It's a watch.
Yeah. Definitely. So, hey, since we've concluded that really quick, what's your favorite Jake Johnson New Girl moment? That's tough, man. I was thinking about that just now. I was like, that's a tough. I do have one.
Okay. You go. Let me think.
Do you remember when Dermot Mulroney was a guest and he was like this, you know,
what he was wealthy, like the powerful guy. Wealthy suitor for Jess.
And he just happened to give him an iPhone just pull out an iPhone for him to task.
Yeah.
And they let Jake Johnson do, I don't want to say they let him do it, but there was a scene at the end where he actually was in the office acting like he was the big shot.
Yeah.
You know, just for a minute, you know, take a couple of different takes of acting like Dermot Mulroney's.
Yeah,
character, you know?
Yeah.
That was probably I think I laughed harder at that scene than I did anything else in the entire show.
There was an episode where this Amazon package was delivered to their apartment. It should have gone to their neighbor, and he opened it, and it was a jacket. So it was someone else's jacket. And it's clearly like a woman's, you know, duster, but he put it on and it fits perfect and it just makes him feel so confident. And so like the faces that he makes at one point, I think he does like a twirl and like he throws his arms out. Like he's confident in himself.
Yeah, that's right.
And he wears it the whole episode. And they have so many little jokes around it. Like, Nick, you know, that's a women's jacket, right? And he's like, if it's a woman's jacket, the line was something like, if it's a woman's jacket, why does it fit so nice? Like, this jacket won't quit.
he was hysterical in that. I mean, they had the best thing about that show is that just how every single person had a different brand of comedy.
Sure.
And it just worked.
Oh yeah. It was definitely a blend of different genres of comedy.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree. It's definitely one of my favorite shows of all time. And in that, like, it started as one thing, like a star vehicle for Zooey Deschanel and kind of giving them, she kind of helped birth that whole manic pixie dream girl trope in comedies. And to give that character, that type of character, its own starring vehicle. And then, it just fully morphed into, all the supporting characters had moments of their own and it became an ensemble show so quickly. It was a fun show. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually streamed the entirety of the series run recently.
Last week.
To mention that I was on Hulu watching shows.
Yeah.
I streamed the entire run of New Girl recently, within the last few months here. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Jake Johnson fan. Nelson.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, that is our take. That was a little bit of Seinfeld there.
What's wrong with these takes?
Where's my sock? So if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, like, give us 5 stars and a glowing review so our podcast can reach more people. Thanks again to Tyler Hobbs of Space Ranger and The Hazels for the original music. Check out Space Ranger and The Hazels exclusively on Spotify. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at The Final Take Pod for everything. Email us at thefinaltakepod@gmail.com and check out all of our episodes on our website, thefinaltakepod.com. One of these days, we will update that. Until next time, I know, we're laughing. Masters of the Air, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
So excited. Okay. That's the next episode. Until then.